Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Beis, and we're learning Perek Vav, the very beginning of Perek Vav. We'll do about half the Perek tonight, and Amir Hashem, next time the other half. Tonight's shir is sponsored by the Swade family, Aaron and Millie Swade, in commemoration of the yard site of Aaron's father, Shaul ben Yitzchak. So his neshama should have an aliyah. Aaron's not here, but he wanted to sponsor the shir, so his neshama should have an aliyah. Okay. So if you look at the beginning of Perek Vav, Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav, so Pasuk Aleph begins, Vayosef O David Eskol Bachur B'Yisrael Shloshim Aleph. So David gathers again, Vayosef Od, right? So he's gathering again, Bachur B'Yisrael. Now normally Bachur, we always think of Bachur as a young man. Right, but in reality, the word bachur from bachar, bachar banu, right, means choice, the best. So these were people, not necessarily young men, but rather the best men. Right, these were the choice, the best men in Klal Yisrael, 30,000 people. What are we gathering to do? So as the Mitzutas David points out in this pasuk, that we're gathering to bring back the Aron. David is now the Melech. David has defeated the Plishtim. He's pretty much the recognized king over all of Klal Yisrael. And he recognizes it's high time to bring the Aron back to Ir David. Right? We learned last week, he decided, right, now Yerushalayim is the capital. Right? It's no longer Hebron, even though he started his Malucha in Hebron. But now he moved to Yerushalayim. And now it's time to bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim, to bring the Aron back to Ir David, and to establish his Malucha. So he gathers these men, 30,000. This is a big group of people. These are the best people, the best men. The Malbim says we're talking about the Zakenim here, right? These were elders. These were chashuv people. You know, the 30,000 most chashuv people in, I guess, in Klal Yisrael at that time. There's a lot of correlation here between these stories that we find in Shmuel Beis and what's discussed in Divrei Hayamim. So many of the Mefarshim are quoting throughout their commentary on this Perek and other Perekim, you know, this Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim and that Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and, you know, comparing, contrasting. So this is clear also from Divrei Hayamim that these were the Zakenim, these were the elders of the city. The Malbim also quotes Chazal that it's not really 30,000. The Chazal say that it was 90,000. Why? Because it was 30,000 groups. Like 30,000 batei din, each group was three dayanim, was three, you know, talmidei chachamim. So really, it was 30,000 times three, so it was really 90,000. And there's a chazal that says that David gave them all smicha that day. You know, this was a big day of bringing all these chashuvim, all the zakenim, and the important people in Klal Yisrael to bring the Aron back to Ir David, back to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Beis. Vayakom vayelech David v'chol ha'am asher ito mibale Yehuda. So David and all of the nation that was with him, they get up and they start going from Bale Yehuda. Now Bale Yehuda also is an interesting expression. We don't find this term really anywhere else. And all the Mefarshim say that it's really referring to this place called Kiryas Ye'arim, which you might be familiar with. We've discussed it in the past. But Kiryas Ye'arim was the place that they had all assembled in order to go and retrieve the Aron. And that's where they were assembled. So they all get up from Kiryas Ye'arim. And the Mefarshim explained why it was, why it was given this name of Bala Yehuda. And they go to Lahalos Misham Es Aron Ha'elokim, to go and get the Aron of Hashem from where it was, from Kiryas Ye'arim. Asher Nikra Shem, which was called the name. What name was it called? Shem Hashem Tzevakos Yoshev Akruvim Olav. Interesting name, right? There's a certain that the Aron has a name to it. What's the name of the Aron? The name of the Aron is not a typical name that like we would assume a name for an item or for a person, but the name of Hashem Tzevakos, Yoshev Akruvim, Hashem Tzevakos, who's the one who resides above the Kruvim, is Allah, was upon this Aron. And so that was the name that it was called.
So it has a double
of what? Shame. Yeah, so it's interesting. When I was, you know, I have the shir, you know, all the psukim I put onto a document, and spell check picked up shame, shame. You know that it's an extra word, so I had to ignore it because that's the what that you know, it took, you know, I did a double take because I looked back at the pasuk and that's what it is. Shame, shame. So it's really, you know, the way you read it is Eis Aron HaElokim Asher Nikra Shame, comma, it was called a name. Now what name was it called? Shame Hashem Tzivakos Yosheva Akruvim Olav. Right, that's the name that it was called. The Shame Hashem Tzivakos Yosheva Akruvim was upon it. Now again, this is not a typical name. It's more of a description.
Maybe it's two different marks. Maybe there was a reference to, you know, the one that by the Pelishtim when they had it, and maybe this one's the one that he's going
to take. I don't believe so. The Mefarshim don't you know assume that there's that we're talking about one Aaron here, right? But I think here the idea is that it was called this name, and again, the name is more of an expression. It's not so much of a proper name. The way that we have proper names, it's more of an expression and a description, but that the Shem Hashem Tzavakos is resting upon this Aruch.
So again, why would they use that same name back in Ishmael Aleph, Perk, you know?
Okay. So the Radak says that why are we saying this now, yeah. Right? Why now are we calling the Aruch by some sort of special name? And he says something which is, you know, a little difficult to understand. But he says that basically, that while it was in the Sde Plishtim, we know for a while the Aron spent time in the Sde Plishtim, so while it was with the Plishtim, it became sanctified. I guess the fact that it was there, that it was away, it became somehow Mekudash, even more than usual, and that's why it has this additional name, additional description, now added to it. I hear you. Yeah, I don't know, but he says the opposite. He says that it became more kadosh. Why that is, I don't know. You know, maybe just the distance somehow created this this kedusha. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Logically, I think that it makes sense. Right? You would assume that when it's within Klal Yisrael, it becomes more kadosh. I don't know. The Malbim though says that this name that we're attributing to the Aron is really setting up what's going to be a tragic story over the next couple of psukim, and that is that because the name that we refer to this Aron is Shem Hashem Tzivakos Yosheva Akruvim, right? That was the Yosheva Akruvim. So he says that just like we're referencing the Merkava, right? The Merkava in Shemayim that we have, you know, descriptions in Sefer Yechezkel. At other places, you have these descriptions of the Merkava of Hashem. So the Yoshev Akruvim, the carriers of the Merkava, the Psukim describe, have a human face. Right? The face of the carriers of the Merkava up in Shamayim have a human face. And therefore, since this Aron is called Shem Hashem Tzivakos, the Yoshev Akruvim, it has to have similar carriers. That the carriers of the Aron also have to be humans. And we'll see that's going to be the tragedy over the next couple of psukim, that the human beings, the people did not carry the Aron properly, and that led to tragedy. So this says the Malbim is really setting up the tragedy that's going to unfold over the next couple of psukim.
Were they Kohanim?
No, not necessarily.
From Yeshua, we learned that they were the
Kohanim
who carried it here.
Correct, so we'll see. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Vayarkivu, Es Aron Ho Elokim El Agola Chadasha. So they take the Aron, and they place it. The Aron was in Beit Shemesh originally. It was moved to Kiryas Yearim. Now they're taking it from Kiryas Yearim back to Yerushalayim. So they place it on a new wagon, Agola Chadasha. Now, why a new wagon? That was because of the Kedusha of the Aron. They didn't want to take a wagon that was used for straw or hay or schlepping things. They wanted to take a brand new wagon. Lakava the Aron. So they brought a brand new wagon. They placed the Aron in this wagon. Vayisa'uhu mibeis Avinadav Asher Bagiva. And they brought it from the house of Avinadav, which was in Giva. That was where the Aron was located during this time. In the house of Avinadav. Ve'uza ve'achyo b'nei Avinadav no'agim es ha'agola chadasha. And these two sons of Avinadav, Uzza and Achio, they were leading the wagon. right? How did they lead the wagon? They led the wagon with the, you know, with the animals that were the cattle, the oxen, right? That were leading the wagon. So they were the balagalos, right? They were the wagon drivers, so to speak, Uzzah and Achio. Now let's read one more pasuk, and then we'll discuss a little bit about what's going on here. Okay, pasuk Dalid, Vayisauhu mi beis Avinadav, Asher bagiva im Aron ha'Elokim. So now this is a little bit of a strange pasuk that Mefarshim point out, because we just read in pasuk Gimel, Vayisauhu mi beis Avinadav Asher bagiva. Right. So now pasuk Dalid is pretty much a repetition. They brought it from the house of Avinadav, which wasn't given with the Aron of Hashem. The Achyo holech lifnei ha'aron, and Achyo was walking in front of the Aron, in front of the Aron. So the Radak says maybe the previous pasuk was just saying that they carried the Aron, and here it's just being a little bit more specific how they carried the Aron. Uzzah was with the Aron; he was leading the oxen, and Achyo was in front of the Aron; he was leading the way, you know, in front. Perhaps that's what it's referring to. Okay, he says that, you know, the Radak says maybe this is referring to the box that the Plishtim, when they returned the Aron, they also returned a box of all sorts of golden offerings and things like that. So maybe that's also what they brought here. That's another suggestion he gives. Okay. Now, there's a big problem here. What's the big problem? And Rashi points this out, which Chazal say, also Rashi's quoting Chazal, that David made a big mistake. David made a big mistake here. What was David's mistake? So everyone knows, you look in the Chumash, that who's supposed to carry the Aron? The Leviim. Right? The Leviim are the ones who carry the Aron. Whenever the Mishkan was transported, the Leviim carried the Aron. Not only did the Leviim carry the Aron, but the Aron was never put on a wagon. The Aron was always carried, right? It had two poles on the sides, and the Leviim used to hold the poles and carry the Aron by using those poles. So here, they're transporting the Aron in the wrong way. They're not supposed to put it on a wagon. They're supposed to carry it. Right, that's the way the Aron is supposed to be carried. That's why it's designed that way. And this is a mistake, as Rashi's language is, that all of Tinoko Shobes Rabba know this. Anybody who learns Chumash, right? You learn that the I think it was the Bnei Kahas, I don't remember exactly which family within Levi, right? But the Leviim carry it, and they carry it with the poles. Everybody knows this. Right? You don't have to be a big Talmud Chacham to know this. And David here makes this mistake. So how could David make this mistake? So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how he could make the mistake. But this was a big mistake. This was a big mistake. Rashi says that this was actually an onesh for David, because David in Tehillim refers to Torah as a zmiros, right? And therefore that was a little bit of a, not the proper kavod that he was giving the Torah. And therefore this was a punishment for David that he was enabled, so to speak, to make this mistake, which will cause this big tragedy that we're about to read about. Yeah.
Maybe there were no Leviim. Is that possible?
Where were the Leviim?
I don't know. 90,000 people?
Yeah, it must have been some Leviim. I know they're hard to come by, but... Okay. The Malbim says that there were actually six mistakes made. Six mistakes. And of course, the Malbim in his Derech, he goes through the Pasuk and he points out where the Pasuk is alluding to all six mistakes. So number one, as Rashi mentioned, they put it on a wagon, right? That was problem number one. They should have carried it. They should not have put it on a wagon. That's problem number one. Derech Agav, parenthetically, the Malbim answers the question of the double Vayisa'uhu, that in Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, he uses the same language, Vayisa'uhu mibeis Avinadav. He says here in Pasuk Gimel, the Vayisa'uhu mibeis Avinadav is referring to the wagon, not the Aron. In Pasuk Dalet, it's referring to the Aron. But in Pasuk Gimel, the earlier Pasuk, we're talking about the wagon. Avinadav donated this wagon. This was a brand new wagon. Avinadav paid for it himself. He donated the wagon for this cause. And that's Vayisomi Beis Avinadav, that they brought the wagon from Beis Avinadav. And then, Pasuk Dalet, they brought the Aron from Beis Avinadav. That's how the Malbim explains, just parenthetically, that's how he explains these two psukim. Okay, but this is problem number one. that they put it on the wagon and they should have carried it. Problem number two. The pasuk says that Uzzah and Achyo were guiding Noachim. They were guiding the oxen. Now, if you remember back to Shmuel Aleph, right, which I was researching today inadvertently, right, when you look back at Shmuel Aleph, if you remember, who guided the cows or the oxen that led the Aron back from the Plishtim? No one. If you remember, the Plishtim put it on a wagon, and they hooked it up to the oxen, and they just let them go, and the Plishtim walked behind it. And they wanted to see, because they didn't know where the Aron should go. So they just went. And miraculously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, put inside the heads of these oxen exactly where to go. And they ended up in Beit Shemesh. And you have the whole stories over there in Shmuel Aleph. So says the Malbim, they should have learned from the Plishtim. The Plishtim knew what they were doing, right? The Aron is miraculous. The Aron is the holiest Keli that we have in Klal Yisrael. What, you think you need to lead the oxen? Of course not. Right? The Plishtim knew this. They knew that the oxen would just find their way, miraculously. So Uzzah and Achyo should have figured the same thing. The fact that they didn't shows that they did not have the proper recognition of the Kedusha of the Aron. Because if they had the proper recognition of the Kedusha of the Aron, they would know. The Aron would find its way.
The Pasuk says Achyo went ahead. Doesn't say Uzzah.
Okay, so we'll get there. We'll get there. Well, so Pasuk Dalid, Gimel, I'm sorry, says then Dalit says Achyo went in front. So we'll talk about that in a second. That's also going to be one of the problems.
How to do this? Like, David didn't tell them to put them on the wagon. They decided to do that.
Okay, I hear you, right? It does not say in the pasuk that David instructed them to do this. Although, you would imagine that if this is all being done through David's orders, right, he's the one that's commissioning the Aron to be brought back. Right, if not for David and the gathering of all these men, you know, the Aron would stay where it is. So he's obviously behind this. So seemingly, either he instructed them to do this, or even if he didn't instruct them, he knew what was happening and he didn't stop it.
Or he should have instructed them.
Or maybe, right? Maybe he should have instructed them in a better way, and he didn't, right? Either way, he made a mistake.
But He was there, right?
Right. Yeah. Right, he was there. Okay. Problem number three, says the Malbim, is that they carried the Aron from the house to the wagon. Pasuk says, "Vayarkivu es Aron ha'Elokim el ha'Agala Chadasha." Had they get it onto the wagon? They carried it. Who should have carried it? Levi.
So why didn't they die then?
Good question. They didn't die yet, right? They didn't die yet, but they carry the Aron from the house to the wagon. So that's another problem. Okay. Number four, says the Malbim, they didn't carry it by the poles. Vayarkivu es Aron. They just took the Aron itself. They were literally holding the Aron itself. And they placed it on. And then finally, or at least finally for this pasuk, the Malbim points something out in two pasukim later also. But finally for this pasuk, Achyo was walking in front of the Aron, which means his back was to the Aron. You can't walk with your back to the Aron. Even the Plishtim, says the Malbim, you look at the Pasuk, where did they walk? Behind the Aron. They had enough cover to walk behind the Aron. But Achyo was walking in front, and his back was facing the Aron. Right? There's a halacha brought in the Rambam. I don't believe it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. But there's a halacha brought in the Rambam that you're never supposed to turn your back on a Sefer Torah. When it's out of the Aron, of course, right? You know, I mean, even this is like, you know, challenging. Some Rabbanim have the minhag that before they give the drasha, they kiss the paroches. Why? Because how can you talk with your back facing the Aron, right? So they kiss the paroches to like a little, you know, a little request of mechila before beginning the drasha. But there's a Rambam that says you're not supposed to turn your back on a Sefer Torah, right? Which is related to this. But it's very difficult to do that. You know, how do you, you know, you have to always be careful when you're walking in shul. Especially it's hard on Simchas Torah. You know, how do you, not to turn your back on the Sefer Torah, but my Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chaim Ilson, used to try to be machmir for the Rambam, never to turn his back on the Sefer Torah based on the Rambam. But this is a similar critique that the Malbim says of Achyo, that he was walking in front and his back was facing the Sefer, the Aron. That's a lack of cover for the Aron. Okay, yeah.
The two of them would have been capable to carry it with the Because two people, one on each side, let's say, they would have like...
saying you need at least four people.
Yeah. So maybe they saw that as being a
problem. Right.
And they carried it.
They lift it in itself. Maybe, maybe. But again, it doesn't mean that that's what they should have done. They should have maybe, brought the Leviim, and etc. Okay. So we read Dalet. Let's go to Pasuk Hey now. V'David v'chobeis Yisrael mesachakim lifnei Hashem. And this is like a Hachnasa Sefer Torah. Right? David and all of Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Malbim points out here, this is not even just Leviim. This is all of Klal Yisrael. Chobeis Yisrael. Right? They're all dancing before the Aron, bechol atzei veroshim, with all these pieces of wood, a certain type of wood, atzei veroshim is a certain type of wood, uvechinoros, uvinvalim, uvesupim, uvemenanim, uvetzeltzelim, all different types of instruments, drums and bells and whistles and all these things that they're playing music and they're dancing. Oh, very good, very good. So the Malbim says that also. So the Malbim says that this is the sixth problem, is that even the rejoicing was not appropriate. Not that you're not supposed to rejoice. Of course you're supposed to rejoice. But it wasn't done in the right way. He says, number one, it was being done in a lightheaded manner. It wasn't being done with the proper kovod rosh. Okay? I think he gets that from the terminology of mesachakim. Right, that the language of mesachakim is like a mischak, is like you're playing. You know, it was more of a playful, lightheaded type of joy, and not with the proper respect, that was necessary for the Aron. And number two, he says that it should have been the Leviim with the special instruments that the Leviim used to play in the Mishkan, and not just with all these random instruments that people dug out of their garage, from when they were in the high school band, they brought it out for the Aron. That's not appropriate.
So the daughter of David
is Michal? That's his wife. His wife, Shaul's daughter. We're getting there.
She didn't act so good.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So that's going to be next week. We're probably not going to get to it tonight, but that's going to be next week. That's going to be the second time they come. This time, Michal's not involved yet. Okay? Okay. Now, so here says the Malbim, this is the sixth problem. Okay, Pasuk Vav, Vayavo ad Goren Nachon. They come to this place called Goren Nachon, and again the Radak here goes to town that in Divrei Hayomim it's called Goren Kidon. Maybe it has two names. Maybe it was changed because Nachon means proper. So originally this was not done properly, and then they changed it. They changed it the second time around to do it properly. So maybe that's why he was given the name Goren Nachon. Okay. Vayishlach Uzza. Here's the tragedy. Vayishlach Uzza el Aron ha-Elokim. Vayochezbo. Uzza, reaches out and grabs the Aron. Kishomtu habakar. Because the animals slipped. The animals slipped. Now, what does this mean? So either they literally slipped, or the Radak says this may have been a miracle that all of a sudden, their legs just broke out of nowhere, and the animals fell down. Now, when the animals fell, what happened? The wagon kind of tipped, and the Aron starts sliding, and Uzza panics. He sees the Aron sliding, right? The Aron's, Rachmana Litzlan, the Aron's going to fall onto the floor, right? So what does he do? He reaches out, and he grabs the Aron to save it. He grabs the Aron to save it. Now, what was the problem here? What was the problem? Pasuk says, Pasuk Zayin, let's read and then we'll talk about the problem. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Uzza. Hashem gets very angry with Uzza. Vayakeyu shom ha-Elokim. And Hashem kills him. On the spot, al hashal, because of the mistake, because of the error that he committed, vayomas shom im Aron ha-Elokim. And he dies there, right next to the Aron ha-Elokim. Okay? Now, what exactly did he do here? Right? What did he do? So, all the Mefarshim here essentially say, quoting Chazal, Rashi, the Radak, the Malbim, all essentially quote the same Chazal, that Chazal tell us that the Aron was really no sayas nosav. The Aron didn't weigh anything, right? It was a miraculous kli. So it not only was it not heavy, but it basically wasn't really carried by the people that carried it. So the Levium that carried it, says Chazal, they were really being carried by the Aron. Right? They were really being carried by the Aron. And this was something that was known. Right? This wasn't a secret. It was already in the Torah. Chazal described it. The Aron had been carried countless times before by the Levium throughout the Midbar. Right? For many, many years already, the Aron's been carried. So they knew this. The Aron was no say is no self. So all the Mefarshim say, if the Aron is no say is no self, if the Aron carries the ones who carry it, do you think the Aron's going to fall on the floor? Right? Do you think the Aron, even if the Aron looks like it's slipping, do you think Hashem's going to allow the Aron to fall on the floor? Obviously not. So if you're running to grab the Aron and to protect it from falling on the floor, that means that again, you're not recognizing the Kedusha of the Aron. You're treating it like any other kli. It's on a wagon, the wagon's tilting, the kli's going to fall on the floor. But the Aron doesn't do that. The Aron is not even carried by the people who carry it. So obviously, if you're running to grab it and prevent it from falling on the floor, that means you don't recognize the true Kiddusha of the Aron. And that was his chait, that was Uzzah's chait, and that's why Hashem killed him on the spot. And essentially, say the Mefarshim, this was really David's mistake for setting this all up, or not stopping it, or not giving them better guidance, exactly however we want to learn, you know, David's part in the chait here. But David made this mistake. Now, why did David make the mistake? That's the question, right? As Rashi said, the old Tinoko Shobes Rabban, every school kid knows that the Levim are supposed to carry the Aron, not supposed to put it on a wagon. You're supposed to carry it, you know, with the poles. How come David made this mistake? So the Radak suggests, and the Radak in Pasuk Vav suggests, that maybe the basis of David's mistake was that he thought that this was all when there was a proper Mishkan. When there's a proper Mishkan, so then the Torah says, the Aron, when it's being transported, when the Mishkan is taken apart and putting back together and transporting from one place to the other, then you have all the dinim, all these halachos, it says in the Torah, Baka Seif Yisau, that the Levim are supposed to carry it through the poles, etc., etc. But here, it wasn't being transported in the normal way that the Torah describes transporting the Aron and the Kelim. This was there was no proper Mishkan right now. And the Aron was being transported from place to place to finally get it back to Yerushalayim. So David didn't think that the regular restrictions and the regular dinim and halachos of transporting the Aron applied. Now again, that was his mistake. He should have realized that they do. But that's the error, says the Radak, suggests the Radak perhaps, that was David's error. It's not like he was, you know, David, you know, just blanked for a minute. You know, this was a cheshbon. He knew the halacha, and he just thought it didn't apply in this case. And here was a very tragic lesson to teach him that no, the Kedusha of the Aron is the Kedusha of the Aron, and it always applies. All these things we have to be careful about. Yeah, maybe that's part of the problem, right? That he didn't, you know, he didn't ask, he didn't find out, he didn't, you know, he just assumed that it doesn't apply. Okay, pasuk ches. Vayichar leDavid. So David gets very angry. Okay, now the Malbim points out that a lot of times you see in Tanakh, Vayichar af Hashem, Vayichar af somebody else. Vayichar af. Exactly, very good. Vayichar af Hashem, right? So Vayichar af, says the Malbim, means that someone got angry at someone else. So Vayichar af Hashem, be'uzah. Hashem got angry at Uzzah. Vayichar lidavid, says the Malbim, means something else. That means that David got angry at himself. David's angry at himself because he realizes that he's the king. And he realizes that this wouldn't have happened if he had done things in a better way. Vayichar leDavid, al asher poratz Hashem peretz be'uzah. The fact that Hashem, the language of poratz is a breach. right? Like Yehuda's son, right? Paratz. His name was Peretz, right? Peretz means because he broke out. He broke out first. He came out. He was born first, right? So Paratz Hashem Peretz beUza that this breach in the kedusha happened through Uza. Vayikra lamakom ahu Peretz Uza. So they named this place Peretz Uza, and he made this mistake. It says in Mitzudas David, not only was he angry at himself that he made a mistake, he was also worried. He was concerned that here, if we see that there's this lack of kedusha and a breach because of a lack of recognition of kedusha, that's not good. That's not good for us as a nation. That's not good for us as a group. Pasuk Tes, Vayira David es Hashem bayomahu. David fears Hashem on this day. Now, obviously, David always fears Hashem, but there was an added level of Yira here because of what just transpired. Vayomer, and he says, Eich yovo elai Aron Hashem. The Aron can't come to me. I'm not ready for this. Right? David says, I see that I'm not ready to handle the Kedusha of the Aron properly. And I we have to stop right here, stop it dead in its tracks. The Aron can't come to me. Right, he was worried. He was scared. He was afraid. It's impossible for me to maintain the proper kedusha that's necessary for the Aron. Now, just keep in mind here for a minute what's going on. You know, this really turned, literally miyantiv la'evil. Right, this was everybody was rejoicing. You know, you have 30,000, 90,000, whatever it is, tens of thousands of people. You know, you talk about the joy at a Hachnasa Sefer Torah. I mean, this is. You know, kefil kiflayim, it's so much more. You have tens of thousands of people all joining and singing, and boom, this happens, and it's like literally in Avelos. And David says, I can't right now. I just can't bring the Aron to me. I'm scared, I'm nervous. So what does he do? Pasuk Yud, Velo ova David lahasir elav es Aron Hashem, alir David. So he says, I can't do it, and he redirects the Aron. He redirects the Aron away from Ir David. Vayatehu David beis Oved Edom Hagiti. And he sends it to the house of Oved Edom from Gas. He lived in Gas, right? That was Gas was one of the Plishti cities, but he lived, probably just means in a suburb. He lived near that Plishti city. This was a Jewish person, not only a Jewish person, but Rashi says in Divrei Hayamim he's listed as one of the Levian. So David's learning his lesson. And he says, okay, the Levium have to be in charge of the Aron. Right? And he sends it to a Levi by the name of Oved Edom Agiti. And the Mefarshim here discuss, there are two types of Levium. There was the Shoarim and the Mishorarim. There were the Levium that were the gatekeepers. They would open and close the gates of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. And then there were the Mishorarim, the ones who sang and played instruments. And there's different, interpretations in the Mefarshim here. He may have been both. He may have been Shoarim, Mishorarim. Okay, but he was listed as he's listed in Divrei Hayamim as one of the Levim, and that's who David chooses to guard and protect the Aron for the time being. Now the Malbim says that if you read between the lines here, there's something else going on. It's not just that David is scared, right? Of course, David is scared, and that's how the Mitzudas David says Pash Pshat. David is scared, but the Malbim says there's something else happening here. David always served Hashem through Ava. Ava's Hashem. Right? We know there's different ways of serving Hashem. You could serve Hashem through Ava, and you could serve Hashem through Yira. David always served through Ava. Always through Simcha. You think about it, Tehillim. Right? Tehillim is full of Ava's Hashem. Full of Simcha. And throughout all of the trials and travails that David went through, the challenges, Shaul chasing him, it was always Ava's Hashem. It was always Simcha. That was David's life. That was his perspective. And that ability to live life like that through Avas Hashem and Simcha brings upon you a shefa, brings upon you an abundance of chesed, simcha, down from Hashem to you. And that's what David was zocheh to. When this happened, this knocked David down a peg. When he saw what happened, and partly it was his fault, he was crushed. David was crushed. And all of a sudden, that avoda of Ava and the avoda of Simcha dissipated. And now David is left. Of course, he's still serving Hashem, but now it's on a much lower level of serving Hashem, just miyira. And says the Ma'ab, miyira sa'onesh. He's scared. Literally scared of punishment. He sees what happens to Uzzah. And he's scared. Is the same thing going to happen to me? Maybe I'm not guarding the Aron properly. I can't give the proper cover to the Aron. So all of a sudden, his whole level of avoda is knocked down from Ava to Yira, which is a lower level, and Yira Sa'onesh. And that's why David says, I'm right now not in a place where I can handle the Aron. I'm not on the same level that I usually am. I'm not serving Hashem out of the Ava and Simcha that I usually do. I'm serving Hashem out of Yira, Yira Sa'onesh. I can't possibly be Zocha for the Aron to be in Ir David right now. And that's why he temporarily redirects the Aron to the house of Oved Edom HaGiti. And he says, maybe, you know, give me some time. I need to work on myself. And once I can get back to that Madrega, then I'll bring the Aron back. That's how the Malbim understands, a whole new level of understanding what's going on. Well, Uzzah dies. Uzzah is one of them. Uzzah and Achio were the two sons. So Uzzah's dead. Achio was not killed, it sounds like, even though, you know, according to the Malbim, at least the way the Malbim describes it, he also sinned. But I guess, you know, I don't know, maybe he was punished vicariously through Uzzah. Uzzah was the carbon here. He was the one who did... Sorry?
He didn't grab it
when it was slipping, correct. He may have done other things wrong, but I guess that was the real nail in the coffin, so to speak. You know, when he grabbed it when it was slipping, right? Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayeshev Aron Hashem Beis Oved Edom Agiti Shlosha Chadoshim. So the Aron stays in the house of Oved Edom Agiti for 3 months. Vayivarech Hashem Es Oved Edom Ves Kol Beiso. And Hashem, as a result of the Aron being there, and of course Oved Edom is, you know, caring for it and giving it the proper cover that it deserves, and there's a tremendous amount of bracha in his house because of the presence of the Aron. Now, says the Malbim, and this is fascinating, the Malbim says that until now, well, actually, let's read Pasuk Yud Beis also, and then we'll explain what the Malbim says here. Vayugad l'melech David le'mor, I'm sorry, you know what, before Pasuk Yud Beis. So just one interesting thing about this bracha, vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom, right, what's the bracha? So Rashi here, and the Radak also quotes it, that he was blessed with all sorts of good things. Children, wealth, you know, all sorts of good things, you know, were showered down from Hashem onto Oved Edom HaGiti. And in particular, Rashi quotes Chazal, and so based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that he miraculously had 62 descendants. Okay, how did that happen? In three generations. Oved Edom had 8 sons. Okay, so he was married. And he had 8 sons. His wife and the 8 daughters-in-law all had sextuplets. Is that the word? Sextuplets? Right? 6 children at a time. Okay, they were all blessed with 6 children at a time. I know that doesn't sound very pleasant, right? But it was a big nace. We know, we learned Chazal tell us in Mitzrayim. Also, the women had 6 children at a time, right? And this was the big bracha that they all had. So if you do the math, it's 9 women, his wife plus 8 daughters-in-law, times 6, 54, plus the 8 sons that he had is 62. And the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says he had 62 descendants. Between him and the next 2 generations, he had 62 descendants. That was the big part of the big bracha that he had. Now, so let's read Pasuk Yud Beis now. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayugad la melech David le'mor, Beirach Hashem es Beis Oved Edom. So they told David, you know, this guy Oved Edom, I mean, he's doing amazing because of the Aron. He's got kids, he's got wealth, all of a sudden. You know, it's like the Aron comes to him and it's like the guy wins the lottery. David. And David said, okay, now it's time to bring the Aron back. And he goes to retrieve the Aron with, again, an entourage, and Simcha, and we'll learn more about this second entourage, Emir Tzah Hashem, next week. But just the last point here, which is fascinating, the Malbim says, he quotes a Mechilta, he says that after the incident with Uzzah, the Aaron got a bad rap. Because what did everybody say? The Aaron's a killer. Right? The Aaron's a killer. It's a bad thing. It's negative. You come close to the Aaron and it kills you. That's what happened to Uzzah. So Hashem had to show David and Klal Yisrael that Nachas v'Shalom, the Aaron's not something bad. The Aaron has Kedusha. Right? The Aaron has Kedusha. But the Aaron, just like the Aaron, the Kedusha of the Aaron can kill if it's not treated properly. The Kedusha of the Aaron can also cause tremendous bracha if it is treated properly. And that's why we needed these 3 months to change people's perspectives, to recognize what the Kedusha of the Aaron can do. It's not Chas v'Shalom something bad. It's not that the Aaron is a killer. The Aaron kills people, Chas v'Shalom. That's not the idea. But the Aaron is a source of bracha. And the Malbim says, that's the Ba'avur. When the Pasuk says, Ba'avur Aaron ha'elokim, because of the Aaron, there was a tremendous hashpa and shefa of bracha from Shemayim. And that's what David realized. He says, oh, he says, okay, now I understand. Now I understand, and now I see that it's time. This was a hint also to David, that now it's time to bring the Aaron back. So David goes with a new entourage to bring the Aaron back to Ir David. B'simcha and Mirtz Hashem, next time we will learn about that tremendous simcha, and that's where the story of Michal comes in, and we'll Mirtz Hashem learn that very interesting story.